can't wait to plant the garden this spring. Today will not be a great garden planting or preparing day, but we will plan ahead as we talk with the co-founder of Seed Savers Exchange about saving heirloom plants. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, April 3rd. Our conversation is prompted by a new way to get heirloom seeds and to save them. Through your public library, at least a handful of public libraries, including La Crosse, where you this spring can check out seeds to plant your garden along with your gardening books, as long as you promise to return them later. Does your library do this? Would you like your library to do this? Have you checked out seeds with your gardening books? How important is it to you to grow and to preserve heirloom plants? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Diane Ott-Wei-Li, the co-founder of and vice president of Seed Savers Exchange. She is a national leader in the heirloom seed movement and a strong advocate for the protection of the Earth's genetic food stock for almost 40 years. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks a lot for being with us. You know, we posted a story about the seed checkout program at the La Crosse Public Library last week on the Wisconsin Public Radio Facebook page, and we were inundated with likes and comments and and people who said, you know what, my library is doing this too, or I wish my library were doing this too. And I'm just wondering, how new is this program?
Well, we were first involved with the La Crosse Library. I spoke a year ago when they had their grand launching of their library, and we had, you know, at Seed Savers, we of course have heard stories about seed saving libraries, but that was my first experience actually being there, and it was wonderful. We're so glad, to see seeds being distributed at any level is always a success for us, because we can't be everywhere distributing seeds. So I think this is a natural and a wonderful outlet for seed distribution of heirloom varieties.
Yeah, and it just sounds really, really intriguing that you can check out a package of seed. Apparently the La Crosse Library gets the seeds from you.
They do.
And then you can check them out and then plant them, grow your plant, and then at the end of the growing season, return the seeds produced by the plant?
Yes, that's the plan. and what it's doing is bringing awareness to growing and saving and sharing seeds again. And that's how we started nearly 40 years ago, was just that idea of networking gardeners to grow, share, and distribute heirloom varieties of seed. And so this is just another avenue for that to happen. Mm-hmm. And a recent one. And I think it's just, a great, wonderful idea. As I said, it brings people together and it gives them the information they need to save seed. Because it isn't as easy, as just taking. There are different things you have to do to keep the seed pure before you, in order to bring it back and have the same seed that you checked out. And most seeds are very simple to save the seed from.
Well, maybe we will talk a little bit about that process, but why don't tell us why you started Seed Savers or co-founded the Seed Savers Exchange. Why was it so important to preserve these heirloom varieties?
Yes. Well, when I was growing up in Northeast Iowa, one of my favorite childhood memories was visiting my grandparents. And I think probably that's everyone's favorite memory, is visiting their grandparents' farm or whatever. And part of that visit was always a tour of his gardens, of my grandparents' gardens. And at that point, they were raising 9 children during the Depression, and my grandmother's grocery list was flour, sugar, salt, spices, coffee, and vinegar, and everything else was produced from their land and from their hands. So I just had this great sense of appreciation for their gardens, and that sort of stuck with me as an adult. But part of that appreciation was ending our garden walks on the porch with my grandparents. And my grandfather had morning glories trained, growing each year on the side of the porch. And he'd have an opening. He'd always use twine strings to support the plants. And he'd have an opening, a circle or a square, so we could sit on the porch and look out and watch cars go by. And he'd have stories about who was driving by, if they were late for milking or, you know, second time she's been out today. And, you know, just I was just so content to sit in this little morning glory room with my grandparents and parents. So when Kent Whaley and I were newly married and lived by them, part of our garden planning, of course, was going to include the morning glory. So we went down to my grandparents' house one winter afternoon and asked my grandfather about the seeds. And he came, he went into the back bedroom and came out with a little white pillbox full of these little black seeds. And he said, well, here you go, these are the seeds. And did you know that my parents brought these seeds over from Bavaria when they immigrated around the turn of the century? And I had never known that story, thought about it much. But holding those seeds in my hand, I was immediately connected to ancestors in another country, people that I never thought about or knew about, and now I have a living connection. And it is quite a, you know,
that's powerful. That really is powerful.
Yes. Yeah. And unfortunately, later that winter, he passed away, and Kent and I realized that if he hadn't given us those seeds and the story, that both would have been lost, and how important it was at that time. We were losing a lot. This was in the early 1970s, and things were changing in the seed industry a lot during that time. So we had the example of a family heirloom that might have been lost if no one was there to take it on and tell the story. But also at that time, the introduction of hybrid seeds came into play, and gardeners were interested in newer varieties. So they were losing interest in the older non-hybrid varieties. So a lot of commercial seed companies were dropping those varieties as well. And then there was a consolidation in the seed industry. A lot of the smaller companies were being bought out by larger companies. So there were just a lot of things happening that made us really, you know, realize the importance of saving seeds before they were lost. Because when immigrants came into this country, they brought with them their seeds because they didn't know what they'd find, you know, in this new country. So in my case, my family brought morning glories. They also brought tomatoes and from Bavaria. So that was just such a good inspiration for us. So we started started with an ad in the Mother Earth News, actually, in 1975, and just sort of put a letter out there saying, is anybody else interested in saving these older varieties of seed? And now, as we know, there were, and here we are today.
And how much interest is there in people saving these older varieties of seeds?
A lot. We have just, I think that's, I think we can sort of judge that by the way Seed Savers has grown over the years, because when we started with just a handful of seed, now we have over 24,000 different varieties of different accessions of heirloom varieties of seed in our collection. We started out with just, you know, a handful of members, and now we have over 14,000 members. So it's, you know, it's been a slow growth, but I must say in the last 10 years, it's, you know, it's really increasing because people are becoming interested in gardening again. And part of a sustainability, and part of that is seed saving. And so I think it's, we really see an interest. And just another example is the seed library. Mm-hmm. I mean, that has sprung up in the last year. So all these things are happening. There's seed exchanges, seed libraries. We've just been, you know, so pleased with the interest of people finding Seed Savers, and we're at, you know, we're based in Northeast Iowa. We're kind of a destination, and we have thousands of people that come to Heritage Farm each summer to see our gardens and who have heard about our work. So it's really been, you know, kind of a perfect storm in a way, because now people are really interested in where their seed comes from, and we were interested in saving seed. So we have the seed, and the interest is built, so it's been a real satisfying time in the life of seed savers.
So if I wanted to plant your ancestors' variety of tomatoes or morning glories, can I go there and get those seeds from you?
You can, yeah. We had the morning glories growing alongside of the barn. I planted those when we first came to Heritage Farm over 25 years ago, and I never had to replant them. That's the thing about a lot of these self-seeding annual flowers is that they will reseed themselves. So definitely we have morning glories growing. We have morning glory seed for sale, plus lots of other. It isn't, you know, we have about, in our catalog that we send out to anyone, there's about 300 different varieties of heirlooms that you can choose from that anyone can just order. So we have a mail order catalog and online, or you can come to the farm to get seeds.
Well, we'll talk about some of the other varieties of heirlooms and why this is important to people to save seeds and to share seeds and how we can save our own seeds. Are you interested in this fairly new program at a growing number of public libraries in Wisconsin where you can check out seeds and then return those seeds from the plants that you grow? What questions do you have? Tell us about your experiences with heirloom varieties. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 22 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, April the 3rd. We are talking about heirloom plants and saving seeds so we can save these heirloom plants. Talking about this because a fairly new program has been in the news recently about seed saving or seed sharing libraries. Growing number of them in Wisconsin, like the La Crosse Public Library, among the first to start this out. You can check out the seeds and then return them at the end of the growing season. How does that sound to you? Why should we plant heirloom seeds? Why should we save them or return them to the library? We are talking about this with the co-founder of the Seed Savers Exchange, and we're welcoming your questions for her. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Diane Ott Whaley. She is the co-founder and vice president of the Seed Savers Exchange in Iowa. She is a strong advocate for the protection of the Earth's genetic food stock for the past 40 or so years. And let's talk a little bit about how, and we do have some calls coming in, but before we go to the phones, let's talk, Diane, about how do you, let's say I check out some seeds from my public library. Apparently Madison is one of the libraries that is offering seeds, too. I didn't know that. Let's say I check out some heirloom seeds, and I let's say it's a tomato, and I like heirloom tomatoes. First off, I don't know how would I choose what heirloom variety I'd want.
Well, that's probably the easiest part because there's lots of choices. So I would say you'd want to choose the one. It depends upon your use if you want it for salads, canning, or slicing. So you would want to read the description about the type of tomato it is, and maybe you want a different. I mean, in heirloom, there's so many choices. There's every different color. You can have green, orange, yellow, pink, red, black tomatoes. You can have striped tomatoes. So there's choices like of what the need is, what you'd like to, how you'd like to prepare it, and what you would like the tomato to look like. And then you'd also want to make sure that there's determinant varieties. Those are the ones that will grow smaller, and indeterminate, which most of the non-hybrid varieties are, which will keep growing. So you want to consider the space that you had and whether it's going to be grown in a pot or in a flower bed or in your garden. So.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you say that's easy. No, I want to grow it in a container on my deck, and I think I'd like the green striped variety because I think they're tasty.
Okay, then you'd probably, I mean, I don't know that your choices here, but
right.
At Seed Savers, you would have green zebra, that's one, or green sausage. So there's many different kinds of green tomatoes that we have in our catalog, and then certainly in the collection, and what our members offer is greater than that. So I can't speak to what the library has in your,
right.
You know, in these areas, but it's, you know, generally you kind of have a feeling of what, or a lot of people want the tomato they do remember in their grandparents' garden.
Right.
You know, they want a big, juicy, slicing tomato. So there's many choices. As I said, for green, we have green grape. That would be a good one for a container.
All right, well, let's say I do that, but then, so let's say that the library does have that, and I check out those seeds, mm-hmm. and I plant them. Well, I mean, what care do I need to, what I need to do to make sure that I save those seeds and I'm able to return them?
Sure. Well, the first thing is that tomatoes are self-pollinating plants, so they're easier. Tomatoes, beans, lettuce, peas are easier plants to start with to save the seed from because they won't readily cross with other varieties. So, but you have to start out with a non-hybrid heirloom variety. So you've chosen your green zebra, and you're going to hopefully have a good tomato growing season, and hopefully we'll be able to plant it someday.
Well, hopefully,
it
yeah.
yeah. It's going to be a delay this year. So you would want to have healthy plants. And hopefully you'll have a healthy crop. And the good thing is you can eat some and you can save some seed, too. So tomatoes are, you would just squeeze, you cut open the tomato. And we have all this information online as well. So we have all that at seedsavers.org at the education link. And we'll tell you how to save all seeds. But tomatoes basically are easy. So you would cut and you just squeeze the pulp and the juice into a plastic container. And then you set the containers aside for a little bit to ferment, and then that breaks that little gel sac around the seed that you might have noticed that will mm-hmm. That will break that down. And then after, and that usually takes about 24 hours to 4 days, depending upon the weather and where it is. But after that layer of mold is there, then you just simply wash that off and put it in a strainer, and you'll find that, you know, all this, the undesirables will rinse away, and then you just spread the clean seeds out to dry as quickly as possible. And we use coffee filters. You know, we just put the seeds on that, and then you usually dry the seeds out of direct sunlight, and it could take up to 4 weeks, but that's the key, is that you really want the seeds to be dried. So, and then you're going to put it, you know, and also it's important to keep track of the variety. So if you're growing different ones, you want to make sure that the green zebra is the tomato seed that you put back in the envelope and return it to the library. So you've had a great tomato crop. You've saved seeds probably for yourself, and then you've also saved seeds for the library.
Oh, that is so neat. So then those seeds that I saved myself, I just put them in a safe spot, mm-hmm. and I can plant them the next
sure.
next year.
Yeah. Store them in a cool, dry place. In an envelope is good, or maybe a closet somewhere where it's cool and dry. And you know, they'll be fine for the next year, year to year, because home gardeners just need to have the seeds saved from year to year. And like Seed Savers, we want to preserve the seeds for a longer period of time because we don't have to grow it out again so frequently.
Eli on Facebook asks, "What if my black thumb, I kill the plants? I won't have seeds to replace the checked out ones. I'm a hopeful gardener, but not a lucky one."
Yeah.
You don't know the answer to this. Is there a fine then?
No, I was going to say they're going to get a huge fine. Even more than that, they'll be disappointed. But the thing about heirloom tomatoes, and particularly an heirloom seed, is they're really not difficult to grow, because when you think about it, the seed that we have has been grown here in this, you know, for hundreds of years, and our ancestors have saved the seeds for hundreds of years, and that's why we have the diversity that we still have today. So I don't, you know, I think it's really, I think seeds want to grow generally, so I think I would say keep trying, because and the older varieties are very hardy, and they've adapted to climate conditions, and so I think that No one should be discouraged from growing an heirloom variety.
Our guest is Diane Ott Whaley. She is co-founder, vice president of Seed Savers Exchange. Seed Savers Exchange is supplying seeds of heirloom plants to the La Crosse Public Library, which is participating in a new seed sharing checkout program. You can check out seeds at the La Crosse Public Library and other public libraries in Wisconsin as long as you return them at the end of the growing season. This is the Ideas Network. The La Crosse Public Library was one of the first in the state last year to start offering heirloom seeds at checkout. You can check out the seeds along with your books as long as you return them at the end of the growing season. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Thursday, April 3rd. Several listeners commented on our Facebook page that their libraries also have a seed checkout program, including the T.B. Scott Library in Merrill, Mercer Public Library, Washburn Public Library, Colby Public Library. Janice adds, Madison Public Library is offering seeds too. Great ideas are contagious. So we are talking about this effort to save heirloom varieties and to save seeds with the co-founder of the Seed Savers Exchange. And we're welcoming your questions. We're welcoming your experiences. Does your public library offer this program? Do you want it to? Have you tried this before? Have you purchased or checked out heirloom seeds so you could grow heirloom variety plants? Or do you make an effort to do this with heirloom plants that are a part of your family? Let us know if this is important to you and how you and why you go about it. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Diane Ott Whaley. She is the co-founder and vice president of Seed Savers Exchange. She is a national leader in the heirloom seed movement and a strong advocate for the protection of the Earth's genetic food stock for almost 40 years. And Diane, let's talk a little bit about the protection of the Earth's genetic food stock. Why does it need protection?
Well, first of all, I just want to start out by saying we're dependent on plants for everything from food to fiber and shelter, and it's so important that there's a vibrant, diverse plant world that's necessary really for our survival. But unfortunately, crop diversity is increasingly threatened by industrial agriculture, climate change, habitat loss. Situations where small seed companies are being bought out, and actually, it's estimated that in the 1900s, an estimated 75% of the world's crop diversity has since the 1900s, 75% of the world's crop diversity has been lost. And when a plant variety disappears, its potential to aid us in the future is also lost forever. So the importance of organizations like Seed Savers Exchange, seed libraries, is really clear. I mean, we all have to make an effort to save seed varieties before they disappear because our global community is dependent on it. Right. So that's why, I mean, I'd say so often, you know, Seed Savers, we have a seed bank where we're permanently preserving, you know, over 24,000 varieties of seed. But really the best way to preserve seed is to have it grown again in people's gardens. And that's why I'm so encouraged with everybody coming to Seed Savers for seeds or going to seed libraries to get seeds. It's just, you know, it's really beginning to be, when you talk about heirloom and sustainability, diversity, I think those words are more in our mainstream vocabulary today than they were when we started 40 years ago. So that's really encouraging for me. Mm-hmm. But I guess the main, you know, we do have to, it's up to us to preserve the biodiversity that we're going to need for our future.
Charles emails, how does a seed saver exchange deal with viability of seeds? By this, I mean seeds have a storage life. Mm-hmm. Some can be stored several years and others only for a season. So if there are less popular seeds, how are you keeping them healthy and viable?
Mm-hmm. Well, I always say we're preserving the good, bad, and the ugly. We preserve everything. And so if a variety isn't popular in a seed catalog, we will have it in our collection. And what we do at Heritage Farm is that every year we select the varieties that need to be grown again to keep the viability up the way we need it to be. So we will go through our collection and we do germination testing. And so when a variety needs to be regrown, that will be grown in our garden at Heritage Farm. So we rotate through the collection and decide what seeds need to be grown, and the storage of the seeds at Seed Savers is probably different. I alluded to that earlier, how we store seeds to last for maybe 10 to 20 years, where the backyard gardener just needs it to last from year to year to stay viable. So we do many different things. First of all, we have seed drying. After we harvest the seed in the fall, we dry it down properly. We have seed drying rooms so we dry it down to a certain percent, and then we've put them in moisture-proof foil packs. So we have a seed collection, one that's in a cool, dry place, and the other is frozen off-site. And by freezing the seed, you can extend the life three times. So maybe a tomato seed doesn't have to be grown out for 10 to 20 years. But I said we monitor with germination. But that's how we plant the seeds. We get new seed, and then we put it back into the seed bank, and we monitor that process every spring so we know what seed needs to be grown out. So that's how we maintain the collection at Heritage Farm.
Well, a listener, Diane, wants to know, how can people learn more about their own seed library?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think going to the library would be a first step. I think if your city has a seed lending library, go to the library and just check it out literally and see what types of seeds they have. If you're interested in starting a seed library, we have, as I mentioned, we have webinars, and we have everything, information that you would need that you could share with your library on how to start a library if they don't already have one. As I mentioned, we work with La Crosse Library to get them started. So if they have a library, they're on their way. If they don't, they could certainly contact us, and we could help them and you set a library up.
Yeah, well, it's certainly catching on. The seed library idea mm-hmm. is certainly catching on in Wisconsin. Do you have any? Is this a nationwide movement?
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. As I mentioned, it was a year ago this spring that I was in La Crosse, and since then, we've had a lot of questions at Seed Savers about how to start a library, and that prompted us to put this information online. So definitely, it's I speak around the country, and generally that's one of the questions or a comment, is that there's a seed library in their town. So I think, as someone said, good ideas are contagious, and that's a perfect idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see if any listeners have used their seed library in their community, or if you make an effort to plant heirloom seeds to preserve plant varieties. What's your question about saving seeds or planting heirlooms? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. What do you think of this effort? Not just the libraries, but the seed saving effort in general. Do you think this is important or not? I'm a little surprised that we're not getting a lot more callers, since I know we all love to garden and we love heirlooms, especially heirloom tomatoes. Maybe the impending snowstorm has you worried. Well, one day our spring will come and we will be able to plant seeds. What kinds of seeds are you planning on planting? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about saving seeds with Diane Ott Whaley, co-founder and vice president of the Seed Savers Exchange, national leader in the heirloom seed movement, strong advocate for the protection of the Earth's genetic food stock for almost 40 years. Talking about seed saving because a program is catching on in Wisconsin and around the country for that matter, but Wisconsin public libraries, a growing number of them, are now becoming seed libraries, and they're offering seeds at checkout. You can check out seeds at your public library or many public libraries, grow your plant, and then at the end of the growing season, return those seeds to the library. It's an effort to preserve these heirloom seeds. What do you think about this program? What questions do you have in general about heirloom seeds? What do you hope to plant in your garden this year? And where will you get the seeds? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And now our lines are full, so let's go to Roxanne in Melrose. Hello, Roxanne.
Hi, nice program.
Thank you.
Excuse me. I have a question. I was wondering if she could talk a little bit more about the difference between heirloom seeds, organic seeds, and the regular seeds that I might buy at the store. I try to do organic. I'm trying to get away from GMO seeds, anything GMO food, and I would like to know what the difference is.
Great question. We categorize our seeds into three categories: historic varieties, heirloom varieties, and commercial varieties. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. All of a sudden, my phone just totally went dead.
Oh, goodness.
Okay, this is good. Open pollinated varieties basically those are the seeds that we're dealing with, and they're seeds that will come true from year to year, so they're non-hybrid. An heirloom variety is a non-hybrid seed that has a history of being grown and shared within a family or a community. Then the new commercial varieties that we consider to be heirloom commercial varieties are varieties that have been in the seed trade since the 1950s. But back to your question about, so first of all, you can only save a seed from an open pollinated heirloom variety because a hybrid seed would be a cross between two varieties, and when you try to save the seed from that, you would get one of the parent varieties, so you wouldn't get a true seed. So you start out with open pollinated heirloom varieties. The organic, of course, is how it's grown, the culture. So if it's certified organic and there aren't any chemicals, or if you're certified organic, that means that the seed cannot be GMO either. So that's one way to ensure that the seed is good if it's certified organic. Any produce in the store certified organic would not have started with GMO seed. But you can also, you could technically have an organic heirloom or hybrid variety too. The organic part comes in to how it's grown. And the GMO part comes in as genetically modified organisms. But most, any seed that's certified organic would not be GMO. And I think another good point is to know your grower, of the produce that you're buying, and know the seed company, because we have in our catalog we have what's called the Safe Seed Pledge, and that means that we will never sell seeds that are GMO seeds. So, and a lot of companies are signing on to that. So that's an important. So find out your seed company as well, what seeds they're offering.
Yeah, if I just wander into the garden store, mm-hmm. or any store, and there's a big rack of seeds there. Mm-hmm. Are those likely all hybrids?
Well, it would say. If it says a hybrid, a lot of the big seed racks in the in the larger stores might be hybrid, but I know Grandpa Ott's Morning Glory, someone mentioned they saw that at Lowe's.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's heirloom varieties in those seed racks and hybrid varieties, I'm sure. But that's just, you know, you just have to know, read the description,
mm-hmm.
and it should tell you. But, of course, all the seeds that we have at Seed Savers are open-pollinated, heirloom, non-hybrid, non-GMO seeds. And as I said, if you know the seed company, too, that's important.
Okay,
that's
Roxanne?
Wonderful. Yeah, I just got my Seed Savers catalog a couple of weeks ago, so I'm looking forward to looking into that. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Roxanne. Let's take another call from Bridget in West Allis. Hi, Bridget.
Good morning, Joy. I was kind of going to ask the same thing as Roxanne, so I think that you sort of answered my question. I was concerned about all the Monsanto GMO seeds in the regular stores if I go to a certain, you know, garden store. So it will say if they're not GMO and your stuff, you test it somehow?
It says, well, first of all, there aren't a lot of GMO seeds in tomato, for instance. Now, I'm not saying that there won't be in the future, but right now the GMO seed is mainly in corn, soybeans, wheat, rice, canola. So it hasn't really entered into the mainstream seed catalogs, but not saying that it won't in the future. But right now, if it's open pollinated, heirloom variety, certified organic, it would not be GMO.
Thank you, Bridget. Let's go next to Becky in Juneau. Hello, Becky.
Hello there. And forgive me, I have a bit of a cold right now.
It's okay.
It's so wonderful to talk with Joy and to Lori. I work for an outdoor education program through MPS. One of the locations is called the Palmyra Environmental Center, and the other is Oak Ridge Farm. And one of the things that is our mission is to help teach children, especially from urban areas, where their food comes from, where their plants come from. So Oak Ridge Farm is a fully functioning dairy farm that also has other animals, and we plant crops and garden plants for them to see and sometimes plant themselves. And at the Palmyra Environmental Center, we have a restored prairie, and we also have garden plants we grow each year to let people see what the first settlers in this area and the Native Americans may have planted. And last year at Palmyra, we actually grew some of the Grandpa Ott Morning Glories and saved the seeds.
Aww.
So it's my great honor to be able to talk with Ms. Ott. This is a wonderful opportunity. And I'll take my comments off the air.
Oh, thank you. Becky called you Lori. Was Lori your mother?
No, okay. Helen is my mother, but anyway, I'm Grandpa Ott's granddaughter.
Right.
But that's a wonderful story, and people are doing such good work around the country, and this is a good example of that. I wanted to share with her, we have a project called Herman's Garden where we distribute free seeds to programs, just like what she was talking about. I think last year we distributed over 60,000 packets of seeds to over 600 gardens. So if that's something that she would be interested in, that information is online under Herman's Garden. But I think it's just wonderful to see diversity in action. And that's what at Heritage Farm, we have, you know, we're surrounded with genetic diversity in every way, our landscape, our gardens. We have a rare breed of cattle. We have diversity that we're saving in apples. So, and it's just, I think it's really important for children and adults to have places like your caller just described to come in and really witness the beauty and the power of seeds.
Next, we'll go to Chris in Prairie Farm. Hello, Chris.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I just wanted to call in and share the discussion of the importance of seed libraries and seed saving. I actually coordinate a small seed library over here. It's called the Hay River Seed Library, and it kind of grew out of coordinating a seed swap every year. We just celebrated our fifth annual seed swap in January, and being the coordinator meant I went home with all the seeds that everybody left behind. So I had boxes and boxes of seed and decided we need a seed library because I can't grow all this in my yard. And so it's been 2 years now since I started the seed library, and it's really exciting to have people come and check out seeds, and it's just been great. We also have gotten donations through the Herman's Garden Program.
Oh, good.
And I just want to say that's an awesome program. It is so exciting to get this box in the mail full of really cool things that you've never even heard of,
and then get to
grow them.
Yeah, and very briefly, because we're almost out of time, Diane, what exactly is that?
Herman's Garden is a program where we donate seeds to worthy causes,
mm-hmm.
and the last two callers were describing just the perfect situation. So folks can go online and check out Herman's Garden. I might also say that we have we have a lot of plants for sale at Heritage. We're in Decorah, Iowa, and so this year we're doing a lot of rare and unusual plants that we're selling from our collection. So if you wanted to really start to get your hands on some heirloom seeds that probably aren't anywhere else, you could come to the farm and pick up seeds here, and some of these tomato plants that we're offering are from our collection, so they'd be quite rare. And so I like all the callers today and just the whole spirit of seed saving. I mean, that's what it is about, is seed saving and sharing. And it's people that I wrote a book, Gathering, a couple years ago, and talked about the history of seed savers, and so many things were intertwined, mm-hmm. but the one thing that sort of pulled it all together were seeds and people, mm-hmm. and I think a library is a perfect place to do that.
Yeah.
And you've probably heard this quote from Cicero, but it said, if you have a garden and a library, you have everything you need.
That's a great place for us to leave it. Thank you so much for being with us. Diane Ott Whaley is co-founder, vice president of Seed Savers Exchange.